My dear friends in Christ, we read today in the Gospel the account of one of three persons that our Lord raised from the dead, or at least three that are recounted in the Gospels. And what is interesting about today's Gospel is that our Lord arrived at the town at the very moment when the funeral procession was heading out of the town to the cemetery, carrying the body of a young man, deceased, whose mother was a widow, and he was her only son. Truly tragic for this poor woman. And the Gospel says that our Lord, seeing her, had compassion on her. He knew that she was a widow. She knew this was her only son. And without anyone asking him to do so, he raised the young man from the dead. Now, I have to think that our Lord didn't happen to arrive by chance at the moment the funeral procession was making its way out of the town. Being God, he knew all things, and certainly he timed his visit to this town to coincide with the very moment at which the body of the deceased was being carried out of the town. We also see in this the word compassion, that the Gospel says that our Lord had compassion on her. And we've seen that word before. In fact, a couple months ago, we had the Gospel for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost about the second time that our Lord multiplied loaves and fishes to feed a very great crowd. And it says at that time, when there was a great crowd with Jesus and they had nothing to eat, he called his disciples together and said to them, "I have compassion on the crowd, for behold, they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat." So I have compassion. I have compassion on the crowd. And this word, compassion, is derived from two Latin words. The first part, C-O-M, means with, together with. And then passion comes from the word to suffer. And so compassion, if we really think of the meaning of the word, it means that we have such empathy for another person, for what someone else is going through, that we suffer with that person. We enter into that individual's sorrow, difficulty. We share it. That's real compassion, a pity, a concern, a love for another human being who is suffering. And we share that suffering. When I think of this word compassion, our Lord's compassion on the poor widow whose son had died, our Lord feeding the multitude, and many other times, we think of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. This devotion to our Lord, to his Sacred Heart, is for the purpose of reminding us of our Lord's love for us, of his compassion, because the heart is the symbol of love. And it is a wonderful devotion to reflect upon the Sacred Heart, to think about our Lord's love for us. Remember that when he appeared to St. Margaret Mary, which was in the 1670s, he showed her his heart, and he said, "Behold this heart, which has loved men so much, and yet is so little loved in return." So the whole devotion to the Sacred Heart is all about reflecting upon the love of our Lord for us, loving him in return, and in particular, making atonement, making reparation for those who do not love him and do not serve him. Devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus is a fairly recent existence in the church. In fact, it was only in 1856. That's 150 years ago, a little more than 150 years ago, that the Feast of the Sacred Heart was established for the universal church, by which we mean that the feast was observed everywhere. Now, previous to that time, it had been observed in just a few places. There was a great holy priest in France in the 17th century, St. John Eudes. He wrote the first Mass in honor of the Sacred Heart, and it was observed, with permission from the Pope, in his religious congregation, but was not universally observed. But it was only after our Lord appeared to St. Margaret Mary that gradually devotion to the Sacred Heart began to grow and to spread. Now, there's a wonderful book on devotion to the Sacred Heart, and it is called The Devotion to the Sacred Heart, How to Practice the Sacred Heart Devotion by Father John Croisset. And one interesting chapter in this book is he brings out the saints who practiced devotion to the Sacred Heart before the 17th century, when both St. John Eudes lived and also St. Margaret Mary. So again, it wasn't widely practiced, but there were saints who had this devotion. One of them was St. Bernard of Clairvaux. He lived in the 1100s. And in his writings, we read the following. O sweetest Jesus, what riches thou hast stored up in thy sacred heart. Can it be that men are indifferent to the loss which they suffer by the neglect and indifference which they show to this amiable heart? As for me, I will spare no pains to gain it and possess it. Henceforth, I will consecrate to it all my thoughts, etc., etc. So he speaks about his devotion, St. Bernard, to the Sacred Heart. Another one is St. Gertrude. She lived 400 years before our Lord appeared to St. Margaret Mary, and she practiced devotion to the Sacred Heart, promoted it among the nuns in her convent. But again, it wasn't widely practiced in the church until the time of St. Margaret Mary and subsequently. So let us think about this when we think about the Sacred Heart. The heart is the symbol of love. We worship the Sacred Heart because of the hypostatic union where the divinity of God the Son is united to the human nature. Our Lord took to himself a human nature, and thus his heart is divine. We can worship, and we do worship his Sacred Heart. We worship his precious blood, because again, of the union of the divinity with the human nature in our Lord. One person with two natures. But let us reflect upon the meaning of the Sacred Heart devotion, and also think about our Lord present in the tabernacle as his heart is there, burning, beating with love for us, desiring to give himself to us in Holy Communion, looking forward to us coming into his presence to worship him, to be with him, to pray to him. So all of this is a way of understanding what the church wants us to have by way of devotion to the Sacred Heart, what it means. And let us think about the compassion, the tender love of our Lord for us, his creatures. It says in Scripture that God desires the salvation of all men. Almighty God loves all of his creatures, and he desires that all of us be with him one day in heaven. Our Lord wants us to imitate that love of his Sacred Heart. We can ask ourselves, do I have compassion for others? Do I have this quality of the Sacred Heart, of compassion and love for my neighbor? It is a fact that by nature, we are all very selfish. We think of ourselves, our needs, our wants, our desires. We don't think about our neighbors so much. So overcoming that, putting ourselves last, we look at the lives of the saints, they put themselves last, they thought of others. And that's imitating the Sacred Heart. Our Lord said, learn of me, for I'm meek and humble of heart. And our Lord certainly put himself last. Even when he was nailed to the cross, what were the first words out of his lips? Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. So our Lord gives us the example of love, of charity, of compassion, and selflessness, putting oneself last. In that regard, I would like to read to you from the fifth chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel. This is part of our Lord's Sermon on the Mount. And this is what our Lord says about charity towards our neighbor. You have heard that it was said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and shall hate thy enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who persecute and calumniate you, so that you may be the children of your Father in heaven, who makes his sun to rise on the good and the evil, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward shall you have? Do not even the publicans do that? And if you salute your brethren only, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the Gentiles do that? You, therefore, are to be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. So our Lord tells us to love all men and to practice this charity towards everyone. So let us reflect upon that today as we think about this great compassion, this great act of kindness toward this poor woman, that without even being asked, he raised her son to life because she had no one left in the world. His heart is filled with tenderness, with love, with compassion. Let us imitate it. Let us say that beautiful prayer often. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto thine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.